You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hi, I'm John Strong. I'm the large bald man who stands next to Stu Holden when you watch soccer on Fox Sports. You are listening to The Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Whoa!
Okay.
Right, that was quantity over quality.
Yeah.
I tried to do it too loud because we're in a hotel room.
It was right. Oddly muted, right? Yeah. It muffled this or something.
I just lift up the volume a little bit. What's up?
Hello. Hello, everyone. Welcome.
Yeah. I should have went like, guten Morgen.
Okay.
Good morning. What's up?
At 9:30 p.m.
I don't know what time it is.
Oh, so did you say Morgan?
Morton.
Morton?
What up, Morgan?
Alex Morgan's German cousin is Guten Morgen.
Hello, welcome to the show. We are currently in Germany.
That's right.
We're excited to be here.
We're behind the wall.
The wall came down a long time ago.
Oh,
Alexa.
Shit.
And also, we are decidedly not behind the wall.
Oh, no. The plan is ruined.
So thank you for listening. If you heard part one on Total Soccer Show,
welcome.
This is part two. We are here with our friends of the Total Soccer Show.
They're colleagues.
Okay.
Workplace proximity associates.
Yeah, damn. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Look, as long as the label's clear and I'm not out here hoping for somebody to put a ring on it, I think I'm fine with that.
Well, welcome to the It's Complicated episode.
So we are here with Daryl Grove and Taylor Rockwell.
That's right.
Epstein didn't kill himself.
Okay.
Wait.
All right. I didn't realize that was one of the questions.
You didn't see that? It was submitted by T. Rockwell. Did Epstein kill himself? And the answer is no.
It was submitted by, Clinton. It was submitted by Hillary Hilton.
Who could it have been? We don't know.
We'll never guess.
Hello again. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right, we are the Cooligans. We're your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listening to.
It's not just that, though.
It's also a TV show.
Yeah. Okay, and it's also not just that either.
I know what it is.
What is it?
It's the goddamn Gulliest podcast.
Yeah. No, it's Der Gully Cooligast.
With an umlaut over it, bro.
Yes, Gully.
So we took a bunch of... there's usually a lot more giggles on this on the part twos.
People are going to start thinking we drop edibles in between one and two.
So you'll notice that I conveniently left the Epstein part for your episode. Yeah.
You also brought it in 30 seconds into the episode.
You also scribble it over and over in your notebook. It's weird.
You wrote it with your blood on the bathroom wall.
Yeah, you wrote it into my new tattoo.
So we took a bunch of questions online. And we have answered these.
On the web.
On the web. This is so you guys had a bunch of questions on Twitter. I got some questions from our Gully Squad members. So let's
start the Gully Squad. We did not agree to that. Oh. None of the Gully Squad money goes to us.
Actually, you know what? Could you guys say hello to the Gully Squad? They love you guys.
Hello, Gully Squad.
Yes. Give us your money.
There's a bunch of Gully Squad members that
they don't want to follow kids in Europe
that are also on the Scouting Network.
Okay, can you filter so that it's okay? I'd love to answer some Gully Squad questions.
If you don't know, this is a Gully Squad episode. If you don't know what the Gully Squad is, go to our website, soccercooligans.com, hit join Gully Squad, give us your money every month, and you'll find out what Gully Squad is.
What a pitch.
Yeah. it's why we get to go places.
That's the most honest crowdfunding pitch.
Give us your money. Okay, so first question is from Felix Palau, NYCFC.
Hey, what up, Felix?
Great dude. He's a guy. He designed the TIFOs for NYCFC for the third reel. So he asked...
also a wonderful human being.
Christian, he goes, how gully was that eagle you faced off against yesterday?
Yo, let me tell you something. You would have gone toe-to-toe with that eagle, and my money was on my boy Christian.
Toe-to-talon, I think. You know?
No, you only have three toes as well. Nobody knows about your foot.
But it was not... I took a photo with it, but Taylor, you also did as well.
It's a goddamn dinosaur.
giant
Jurassic
bird.
Park taught me that dinosaurs became that, and I get it now. That thing was... intense and did not love people getting real close to it. Like, I'm sure it's used to it, but
I got
it was definitely
too close to it.
It looked at you at one point, it shot you an eye, And then it like got closer to you.
Yeah. And that's when I realized love at first sight is possible.
See, I think he didn't look happy, right? I don't get too Peter-y, but I really think like the natural environment for a big bird like that is not the press room.
Or even, or even fly, like at least, like, I don't know if LA, I genuinely don't know if LA's do, but like I know like Benfica's and I think Lazio's like fly around the stadium. Yeah. Like it's a whole like, like eagle, bird of prey flying, and he seemed to just kind of be chilling in a press conference room.
Which well, his only thing is to like full wingspan. Mm-hmm. The crowd like cheers, says something, and it goes
wingspan. But my point is simply that I'm pretty sure that's not what like birds are meant to do. Is like, here's my wingspan. I feel like they're supposed to use that to move.
I don't know. I think birds are like, finally, a roof.
Yeah. You know, I do wonder sometimes when they just, you see them keep flying and flying and flying, like, that's got to be tiring.
Yeah.
It must be nice to just like sit around and get fed. So well, there's
it,
that part.
It was cool that the handler would like whisper something in the bird's ear, and he would expand.
Yeah.
I've never seen
it's expand or punch your ear.
Like do eagles know German? Yeah, like it's just like a weird I just never knew that.
Just naturally.
It's their first language.
He did have a very casual relationship with that bird that like you could picture them like throwing back some pilsners or something like that. Just like having a casual conversation. Like I guess sucked, right? Yeah, totally. All right.
Can I give you a conspiracy theory? I don't think the bird knows German. I think that dude knows bird.
Whoa. Okay.
Him and Shirley Kelly. Those are the two.
I think my man speaks eagle, dude.
I wish that would be like, oh!
He knows the language of freedom, man.
Yeah, but that was pretty cool. I interacted. We had a great time.
I know we got to move on. I just got to say, I did not see him bring the bird in. And it was at the exact same time that the maybe starting, maybe backup goalkeeper Kevin Trapp was there, like giving some Bundesliga fans jerseys. And so it was a strange, like, hey, did you see Kevin Trapp? And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And they're like, did you see the bird? And I was like, I was not ready for that.
I thought you're like, that bird has two names.
The Eagle's name is Kevin. That's a shame.
Yeah, what was the Eagle's name? Attila?
Attila.
Attila, yeah.
Like so. Attila the Hun.
But it wasn't named after the Hun, but it was named after Attila the Hun, except it wasn't, but it was.
Okay. Yeah, it was a confusing guy.
It was
right?
a little, yeah. it was a little
also, I just want to say, how great is it that we got to go to the city that has the only skyline in all of Europe?
That was a claim. That was a claim.
That was the tour guide in Frankfurt told us that, and all the English people were furious.
I wasn't. I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it just depends on your definition of skyline.
I said to one of them, Sam from the Bleacher Report podcast, very funny dude, great guy to hang out with. I said, which other city has one? He's like, London. I go, well, you won't be a part of Europe soon. So what's up?
It don't count.
And yeah, he was also upset at that.
Okay. Next up, we have two questions. I want to get to both of these. So this is just a quick note. This is from Danielle Lefebvre from
she's my Lefebvre.
This from DC. Great human being.
What's up, Luca?
Okay. Baby Luca.
And
baby.
Also, did you know that DC United also has an eagle, or like also has a bird of prey that flies around? Did not know that.
Yeah,
because she when I posted the mascot, photo,
but it has very little Talon. Instructions, right?
Well, no, there's Talon, but then there's another one. I'll find the name real fast.
Has Talon been replaced? There was a competition for Talon.
Apparently, it's an adorable name. It's like Mr. Hoots or something like that. That made me so very happy.
Ooh,
I'll have to try to find it before we end up here.
The thing
is,
Epstein didn't kill himself.
Oh, that's definitely true. I don't know if y'all knew that or not.
Okay, this is from the
answer. They're not really enjoying that.
I'm getting a phone call from Hillary Hinton.
She says, not a question, but do we expect a stadium pooping update from Alexis?
I went all the way to the Leipzig game to poop.
Yeah, it must have been quite a few because they put.
I really let it go out there.
An 8th spot on mine.
I gotta be honest, the whole pooping situation has been a little rough. I've been basically eating nothing but sausages and pork knuckle.
I don't understand how Germans are healthy or alive.
I don't understand how all the toilet paper doesn't have aloe vera on it. Y'all got some ruined buttholes.
Yeah, no pooping in stadiums in Germany.
No,
for,
you know why there's
Alexis?
No press bathrooms here.
Oh, that's right.
That is weird, right?
Yeah, it's weird.
Was I talking to you about the bathroom at the stadium too? That they put it like it was like a gray wall with a gray door and a small sign that said like WC, but it looked like the most like janitor's closet room I've ever seen. I was so confused.
It's not clear what the bathroom and what isn't.
No.
Yes. Well, so like, the interesting thing
Taylor said he wasn't sure if what he was going into the bathroom. I'm like, well, I'm peeing in whatever's behind this door, so it might be a server, it might be a janitor's bucket.
Yeah,
and I'm curious. Did you guys enjoy this? That the press room, quote unquote, was really just like seats out in the stadium, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in a lot of US stadiums, the press room is like behind glass or
Red Bull Arenas is like that, where you're sitting outside. I don't mind that as much.
So I like it because you get some of the atmosphere. You're not looking at it through glass, but when, then you lose out on the food's not right next to you and the bathrooms aren't right next to you. So you've got to...
There's a way to do both.
Yeah. I mean, in a 50,000 plus stadium with really lively fans like we had.
And
in,
you can just make the seats toilets. For the press, so you can just
sit there and I've often thought about having some type of suction device on the couch so that I don't have to get up and go to the bathroom. I can just do it right there. So that would be wonderful.
You would never leave the house.
Is this a shock tank?
Some people may not know what we're talking about, and there's apparently a myth that has been created that every
is it a myth or is it some type? There's another word for it, because a myth means we're not sure if it's real.
Legend, an urban legend.
No, it seems to be like some magic trick. I don't know what it is. There's something.
What
are we talking about?
A mythos or something like that. Yeah, but something.
If I poop in your stadium, during that poop, at least 2 goals will be scored for the home team.
For the home team.
And this is an urban legend that you've created by repeating it multiple times, right?
But it's happened multiple times.
It's happened so often. We were just in Los Angeles, and if you haven't seen the LAFC poop story on our show, look up on our Instagram.
Citizen Kane.
It's ridiculous.
I would say coincidence is not causality, and if you spend half the game in the bathroom, then there's going to be some goals while you're in there.
I did not, although the first one, I was in there quite a bit of time.
It happened. In Minnesota, in Allianz Field, this is the first game, and Alexis spends way too much time in the bathroom, missing out on this minutes? Very unique experience.
Yeah,
but well, that's what I'm saying. Go. That's why there were goals in the bathroom.
But a bunch of goals were scored at that time. Anyway, so
when you gotta go, you gotta go. Don't hold it; it's bad for your sphincter. And did you know you have 6 sphincters?
So, but Danielle also did ask,
Epstein was found with
what
only 5.
What is happening?
Yes,
are we doing?
Giving everyone an update. So people don't know why we're talking about poop so much.
What you act like you've never been on a soccer podcast?
Danielle also did ask. She said, "How frustrated should we actually be with the U.S. youth national team's dismal U-17 World Cup showing? They didn't even make it to the knockout stages. They lost 4-0 to Netherlands and 4-0 to Senegal.
4-1 to Senegal.
And then 0-0 to Japan. Matt Doyle had the tweet that was like, this just proves that worrying about 17-year-olds playing soccer is for psychos. And I wish I could have that mentality. But the truth is, I get sucked into like, who's the next big thing? And this is going to be so exciting. And I, like on this show, talked about how I thought Rafael Vicky was going to be a good coach. Mm-hmm. I had faith in him to get the U.S. playing exciting attack soccer.
He was good looking and European.
That's part of it. But I think, like, again, he's another one who, like, I enjoyed what he said when I heard him talk. It seemed like he had clear ideas about how he was going to communicate. I haven't always loved the U.S. at youth level. It was awkward when we had some questions about, like, but isn't this guy a great coach? And it was like, well, I think he's kind of, like, basic. And so I was excited to see a little bit of deviation in the way the U.S. played. And I saw deviation in the sense that they went from playing okay to not okay. That was a big deviation.
I mean, it's worth noting as well that the team that did this poorly at U-17 World Cup last time and, didn't make the quarterfinals had, say, Christian Pulisic on it. So it's almost not the performance.
Wait, did Pulisic team not make it out of the group?
Didn't make it out of the group.
I didn't know that, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Right. See? So it's not,
so
not necessarily.
Somebody on this team is going to get sold for $79 million,
possibly. It might
million.
Be Giorena. Yeah. I'm saying it's not a good indicator of like how good the team's going to be in the future. Mm. But it is still a little bit worrying, right? Because mostly because of the vacancies. I've been reading a lot of Mike Quartola for Soccer America.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's very concerned that essentially Ernie Stewart came in as GM. They sort of seem to, what's the word, like disenfranchise Tab Ramos as youth technical director for the past year. So youth coaches who had experience and knowledge and familiarity with this current set of players have been leaving and not been replaced. Mm-hmm. So he's essentially saying that they've let Rafael Vicky come in and just take these guys to a U-17 tournament where Vicky has no experience and doesn't have that much familiarity with the players.
Yeah.
And they've kind of removed a successful system and haven't even replaced it with anything yet. They've removed what was working and replaced it with nothing so far.
And I want to steal a point from Alexis from, I think, our episode where we're talking about Serginho Dest, which is that like sometimes when U.S. does have these players decide to play for the U.S. or Christian Pulisic gets that transfer, it's seen as like, oh, we're doing big things. Like, oh, the U.S. is succeeding. And I think there is a chance that Gio Reyna plays for Dortmund this season. I think there's a chance that he makes the senior team this season.
Yeah.
I don't think that means like, oh, okay, we're on the right track. And I think that is how it maybe will be looked at. And it's honestly, it's kind of what you just said. It's like, well, Pulisic's team didn't do very well and Christian Pulisic's here. And I would argue like that doesn't make things better because we have like one good player who can do stuff. The fact that a talented team of 17-year-olds looked like they didn't know how to play and looked fairly unmotivated at the same time is more than a little troubling to me.
And the worry to me is Ernie Stewart, say, appointed Berhalter, appointed Vicky, and that there is some like consistency between those two. And then those are the two teams that are not playing well right now. So that's a big picture concern.
I want to point out the difference in the run of conversation that you and I had, Christian, and the conversation these two guys had.
Yeah, tone's a little different.
We were talking about sphincters and pooping. And these guys had an in-depth conversation about the U-17 setup. And everyone who listened to our podcast is, if they're not Total Soccer Show fans before, they are now.
I mean, well, they're not. They're like, these guys didn't talk about poop at all.
Yeah. But the Serginho does poop. I mean.
But the U-17 U.S. youth national team was a shit show. So there we go. So look, right. We merged these two worlds, and this is why our relationship works so well.
Also, some team, maybe the U.S. soccer team, the U.S. under-17 World Cup team, needs to pay me to show up to their home stand games and poop. And you'll score at least two
goals. I'm more concerned that they're losing this badly more than they're losing.
I'm not, because it's so early. Here's what actually upset me is, I didn't realize this. We talked to Lutz Fennenstein. Is that close?
He is so proud he knows how to pronounce that name.
Yeah. It's wrong. It's Fennenstiel.
Fennenstiel. That guy said he mentioned the under 20 and the under 17 World Cup multiple times as part of his scouting. I didn't realize, for him to say those words so many times, that it's such an intense focus for so many clubs. I had no clue. I knew people were scouting it.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was. Right? I didn't know it was that. So I am now a little worried for that, because that gives these kids an opportunity. But then again,
the good news is a lot of them are already at clubs. Right? Like, Giorena doesn't need scouting.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Did you find that kind of crazy when he was like, "Yeah, I have a guy in Colombia 6 months out of the year, and he's like scouting every single team." Yeah.
It's made me very interested in Dusseldorf now. Yeah. Every time they sign a player, it's hearing how much work goes into it and how much they've thought it through, I'm like, "Oh, this guy's going to be good."
Yeah. Also, Taylor got massive.
How many more goalie squad questions we've got? Because we've also got a load of Twitter questions.
Yeah, I mean,
can we quick fire through?
I feel like, where did that come from?
Sure, yeah, we going in longer. These guys just having a separate conversation.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's just he has massive calves, dude. Jesus. Okay. It's impressive, dude.
Yeah. Well, I
know. Wrap him around me, Taylor.
I noticed when we were playing in the media football tournament in Germany and dominated. And also, Steve Cherundolo seemed to have a little bit of a crush on you and those calves. He was very
My heartbeat generally. Generally, you can start the flood. I was like, what's that name? Did
he? He was very complimentary of your ability on the pitch.
He named you MVP.
He did. That was a very exciting moment. I think he wanted to give it to somebody else, and then he didn't. I maintain that statement.
He gave me a trophy, so apparently it's not that big of a deal.
Okay, so
thank you. That's nice.
Let's go through some of these. So this is from Wayne Powell, big Timbers fan, great dude. And I'm gonna put Brandon Schechter's question together because they're kind of similar. So he says, Wayne says, on a scale of James Milner to Jermaine Jones, how gully are German fans? And then Brandon, who is currently in Germany, who we were hanging out with, he is an Atlanta United fan that is also German and works in Germany and happened to be in Frankfurt while we were in Frankfurt
in the same hotel
while it was serendipitous.
Y'all know that this, like, that is all the familiar symptoms of a stalker, right? That, like,
we are stalking Brandon.
There we go.
I know what he eats for breakfast.
It was so weird. I came into my room and all the lights were off and he was just sitting on the bed. Like, what a crazy coincidence.
What's up, Brandon?
Brandon asked, on a scale of one fire emoji to three fire emojis, how fire emoji is German fan culture? So we've gotten to see 40. It in two games. Yeah. It is pretty incredible how...
one thing stands out more than anything else is...
How you don't let Christian finish his sentences?
Yes, no.
That stands out to me.
Because I want to say, Christian said one of the funniest things. It was when they start whistling as a group of people... Yeah. It's louder than anything I've ever heard. And Christian at one point looks at me, he's like, do they have a device for that? Like, is this real? Is that their mouth? Yeah. And I'm like, dude, this is wild. Like, I don't know how you could focus as a soccer player. I had to cover my ears.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. I mean, it goes without saying, like, if on TV, it does seem pretty wild. But when you're actually here, kind of inhaling the toxic smoke is in the air.
You really feel it.
You really feel it. You know,
the atmosphere, the toxic smoke, that I've not experienced anything that loud. That was pretty incredible at both stadiums. The only thing that like slightly dampened it for me is I just kept seeing these tens of thousands of people just crushing beer nonstop throughout the game. Like pint after pint after pint.
Yeah.
We went to get beers today during the game and we found out only non-alcoholic beer served there.
But Frankfurt serves light alcohol beer.
So then Frankfurt,
2%
more hardcore. Dusseldorf, just sipping on beer for the taste.
Yeah.
But suddenly I was like, man, how are they like still singing and jumping? And they all like have it together when they've been drinking beer the whole time? And the answer is because they're all sober.
Is that why there's no TIFO in England? Is because everyone's too drunk to get
organized? Probably.
That's what they call dead.
Flags will be all wobbly.
And Alexis, you're absolutely right, because now that I think about it, I was like drunkenly like run into by two different people on the walk back from Frankfurt. So yeah, there's definitely a few beers being thrown
Frankfurt
back.
Frankfurt got litty as hell. I love the culture
of both. Some literal pre-gaming. Mm-hmm.
Next up, this is a Twitter question. This comes from Kevin Chan. He says, did not Alexis try pizza in Germany? And if so, how trash was it, my guys?
I didn't try it, but I looked at it and it is all trash.
Okay. No, we don't want to get too, but we talk about pizza too much. This is from.
Just answer all of them with it's trash. Oh, wait. This pizza in Scheiße. That means this pizza's trash.
There it is.
You
okay.
said Dissa Pizza.
That's what it is.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
I was like, Dissa Pizza. It's a trash.
Scheiße.
It's me.
Whoa, what a mashup.
Mario Coogan brother.
German Mario. This is from
Mario Basler. There you go.
Football for you and me. And they ask, I'll ask a simple question. What has been the most surprising thing you didn't expect to find on this trip so far? All four of you answering individually, if possible. Thank you.
Can you say that one more time?
I'll ask a simple question. What has been the most surprising thing you didn't expect to find on this trip so far?
Especially what's the most surprising thing?
Yeah. So yeah. I'll go first. I'll say that I've never been to Germany before. And when we did the seminar thing with the Eintracht Frankfurt, the supporters Eintracht Frankfurt, their supporters group is so large that they need to have a supporter liaison that basically is the middle person between the supporters and the actual front office.
1,000 fan groups, which I can't believe is true, but yeah, maybe
that is SLO. It's like a lot of clubs have that in Germany.
Yeah. So some people may not know that, right? So the one thing that was interesting was about how in German football culture, we hear about what's going on in like Italy and like racist chants and all this stuff. And Germany's really, really doing everything they can to get rid of that stuff. And the guy that we met, he just seemed like a badass dude that's like, nope. We do not deal with that. We don't tolerate any racist behavior, any homophobic behavior. And the one thing also, Germans feel there's a certain level of real shame that they feel about their history that they make very clear that they are, it's kind of amongst, it's in the culture and everybody.
Or the Frankfurt Museum sort of hides a certain couple of decades. Sure.
But at least.
I get what you're saying.
At least some stuff happened. Anyway, the 80s were good.
Genuinely in the least trafficked corner of that museum is where that memorabilia was.
Yeah. But at the very least, I like that part because it's very different from American culture where they kind of don't embrace it. They hide it.
It's a thing where Germany's like recognized its past and dealt with it and confronted it and is ashamed of it and then takes action to not do it again.
Exactly. And as far as American like sort of culture is like, that was 100 years ago. Yeah. What are you still mad about?
Still mad about last week? Come on.
So that was the most surprising thing for me.
All right. Oh, me next.
Let's go in
genuinely,
the circle.
The size of the stadiums and the attendance at two teams that I didn't think of as being big clubs, right? So when I was told we're going to see an Eintracht Frankfurt game and it's against Bayern, I was like, oh, cool, we'll see Bayern, we'll see a big team. And maybe there'll be like, I don't know, 30,000 Eintracht Frankfurt. How big could that be? 51,000, right? So, and then the next game was what, Dusseldorf-Köln? I was like, all right.
Which we had heard was going to be an intimate game.
Yeah.
So it's like, more intimate.
That's the definition of intimate for them,
maybe
right?
Like 25,000 people are there. 54,000 people. These stadiums are gigantic and they're full. Like, I don't know. I think maybe I'm sort of indoctrinated with the Premier League stuff of like, we've got the best fans, the biggest stadiums, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, so the size of what I think of as mid-table teams is really impressive and surprising.
Yeah.
I think I was, I don't know if this was like surprise, but it was more of a like, oh, okay, now I get it moment was I've heard so many different European journalists talk about how strange it is to them that American press boxes are behind glass and how you're usually glassed in a box with air conditioning, everything like that, which is lovely when it's really hot, but it does sort of kill the atmosphere. And I've always just been like, yeah, but you know, you're in a press box. You're not supposed to really cheer. You're supposed to be like a neutral person there to report facts. But it really makes a huge difference because both of the stadiums we were at, it's the open air press box. You're up high, but you're out there. You're surrounded by the fans. Like I was the person sitting next to me on my right today, like was like a 50-year-old Oh, no, actually, it was for a while. Then it was like a 50-year-old man who was a Cologne fan and was not happy the entire time. But like, just to be around that, you get so much more into it. If we'd been sitting behind glass, it would have been a fairly ugly derby. But because
it literally
puts
a barrier, right? So you're watching it at one remove when there's glass.
Yeah. And so like, maybe that's not that groundbreaking to say like a game is better when you can hear everything. But it was a sort of like, okay, I get why people think this is really strange. And I do sort of wish we had that more. That said, I think we got a ways to go before we can regularly compete with the size and atmosphere that we saw on display in both of these games.
Yeah. We also may feel differently if we were here in February.
Also that.
I'll say,
also that. Where's the glass?
The media food at Frankfurt was pork knuckle, and I love you guys for it. It was amazing. No, the thing I noticed is, you know, I think we're all trained. The one thing holding the Bundesliga back is the fact that most Americans aren't going to understand the chants. They're not going to understand a lot of the stuff that's happening. So you're not going to be able to envelop yourself in the atmosphere as much as if you were to show up and be a part of it. Even though we didn't understand the chants, you got to hear it. You feel it, you know? And that's where the Premier League has a leg up. But in almost every other way.
Because you understand the language when you hear the chants on the TV. Yeah.
You can immediately immerse yourself in the game because you understand what's happening.
Yeah.
Even if the accent's a little different or silly, however you want to think about it. I prefer to call it silly. But I'm joking there. I think one thing that I didn't realize is, and as other than maybe the superstars, I don't know that the Premier League beats Bundesliga in atmosphere or in culture, those things. I don't think it beats it in any of those sort of variables. I think it has the superstar names that the Bundesliga is missing. And other than that, I think in every other way, it's not better, but just as good. And I don't think as Americans, we've experienced that.
That surprised you because you didn't expect that.
Yeah. Cause I, you know, as someone who talks about soccer for a living, you would assume I've sort of experienced that and knew it. Like I knew Galatasaray is nuts. You know what I mean? I knew some of those things, whatever. I know Morocco has a great atmosphere, but at every level, I'm like, yeah, Bundesliga. I'm thinking to myself, like Arsenal and Bundesliga, they all have kind of similar traits. I think they match up really well. The difference is that most Americans aren't going to be able to understand what's really happening. So you're not really going to get the culture unless you go to a game.
I wanted to piggyback real quick off something Alexis said, because that did jog my memory as to like when you're saying like that you don't have quite the superstars that you do.
Yeah.
I have always wondered, why is that the case? And I've kind of assumed it was like I'm maybe like not paying attention enough and I don't know like some of the up and coming people, which is definitely the case. But Eddie, who's organized this or been one of the main organizers, we were chatting with him yesterday. I think it was you and me talking to him yesterday. And we were talking about how like Germany is like at this point in the year, like cold and gray and it rains. And he was like, yeah, that's why like warm weather people don't like it here. And it led to a much longer conversation about how it's really, if you come here and you're a young Brazilian or a young African and you come here and it's really cold and you don't know anybody and it's gray and everything is closed on Sundays, it's a really hard place to play. And Eddie's point was like, that's why they look to cold weather Scandinavian countries and Russia and like Eastern Europe and places where it's cold. Yeah. And there's a bit more like what was he phrasing? It wasn't like discipline, but it was just more of a like, this is how things are. So this is how things are. And so like, that's fine. And you're just kind of accepted and you go with it. But if you're from a warm weather climate, you're going to come here and not enjoy it as much. And I think that is a weird thing that is detrimental to the league, is you're not going to have as many like Brazilians and Argentinians coming to play here because it's really, really cold.
And they play in England, so they would if the money was bigger.
I guess that's true. That's a good point.
But if the money was bigger, they would.
Here's the thing related to that is I was surprised when the Bayern, I can't remember his name, sorry, he's an executive, was talking about having Coutinho and what a big deal it was. And I really didn't think, I mean, obviously Felipe Coutinho is a really talented player, but I didn't think of him as like a star so marketable that Bayern are happy to have him.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I was really surprised by the celebration.
Barca
of him.
And
Liverpool
Brazil.
And then Barcelona. Yeah,
and but also Brazil's national team. Mm.
Yeah,
he's a superstar in a massive country. That's a big deal.
But I didn't think of him as like as big. They were talking about him like it was having a Messi or a Ronaldo or
like Neymar or Mbappe. Yeah, you're right.
I don't think they necessarily want to be talking about him like that way. I feel like that's the situation they're in, is that Coutinho is that player to them right now. I think they would be much happier to talk about an Mbappe or, you know, like, I mean, I think they talk about Lewandowski that way. But like, I think they right now is maybe indicative of where Bayern are in terms of the players they have in their squad and how maybe in going forward we'll see more bigger name players.
But it's a shame, right? Because you've got like Lewandowski, but maybe everyone's just bored of him, so he can't be such a like a big star.
I don't think it's
that.
I think it's the language thing again. I think you're getting clips with like, you know, news, like sound bites, and you're getting all this stuff from all the English players and all the people that speak English.
That's true.
When you're getting, when you're journalist or whatever, or even if it's like a sick burn, none of us are going to understand it. None of us want to read the caption. We want to see, want to hear it. So it's to me, it's the language is holding this whole the whole Bundesliga back.
And both ways.
It's just because, English.
Yeah, go to Bundesliga.
No, but that's what I would say. Because like there will be people who will say, like, worth remembering, like Robert Lewandowski apparently speaks like perfect English. Uh-huh. But even then, you don't have reporters asking him questions in English. Nope. You don't have nearly as much coverage. So even if he could speak English, he's not getting those questions. So he's gonna speak German and Polish. Like those are the questions he's gonna get.
Either change everything to English or go to Mandarin, bro.
Christian, how you doing over there?
I'm doing fine.
He's checking his stocks.
It's all good. We probably have time maybe for one more question or maybe two short ones. So
is it about Epstein?
Yeah, the people are very concerned.
He still didn't kill himself.
This is why they listen to this podcast to get those updates.
Alexis Poop while Epstein was being murdered.
That's how he was murdered.
So Kyle Knight asked, after seeing Christian in that Germany jersey, what's everyone on the pod's favorite vintage kit? Maybe a tough question. I don't know. I don't really think about vintage kits that often, but
oh, I needed time to think about this.
Yeah, one. So let's leave that one for last. So
that'll
you guys,
be the last thing we say,
can think about it. Some on Twitter, someone had asked. This was from Derek Eanes. He says, "Which stadium did you guys enjoy the most?" Simple question.
Frankfurt, Commerzbank.
Mine's Dusseldorf.
I think mine's Dusseldorf as well.
I don't know why.
Three votes for Dusseldorf.
I was more impressed with the fans. There's a lot of like, I didn't understand what they were singing, but they're singing and bouncing up and down. Yeah.
Can I jump in? This is the story. I meant to tell this earlier. I'm sorry to keep jumping in. I can only tell this on your show though. So that's why. There's a moment when they were singing back and forth, like the Dusseldorf fans to the Köln fans and back. And it had the like call and response thing that you'll see sometimes. Like college football does that where it's like they talk back and forth.
Like Seattle,
and it sounded like very mm-hmm. It sounded very pleasant. So I asked our German and I was like, oh, that's like they're like, you know, working together. Like maybe this is a like, yeah, it's a rivalry, but we're buddies. And I asked our German speaking friend in front of us, like, what are they saying? And he's like, well, they're saying fuck you, and they're saying no fuck you. And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Now. Okay.
So you seem to be mistaken. fuck you.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, I hear so you fuck you, cordial. And I raise you a no fuck you.
Yeah. How polite.
It was like, you are shit. No, you are shit. Is the thing that they're saying.
Lovely. Yes. Yeah.
But I mean, they were 15th and 16th in the table, right? They're both right.
Yes. There were an insane amount of flares. Mm-hmm. Tifo was massive in the Dusseldorf game. And we were watching a derby, right? So they're clearly the energy was just different.
Yeah.
I'll give credit to the Bayern fans at Eintracht. They were
the whole game.
They were loud the whole game, even while the team was down 5 goals. They were
they just like looked at the trophy cabinet on the phone. And like, ah, oh, okay. We keep singing.
Yeah. That's we're good.
That's what somebody did ask. A question. So like Matthew Lundy says, well, what does the Bundesliga have that sets them apart from other leagues? But like one thing I did enjoy was a
commitment
that
to youth.
Okay, sure, that too. But the connection between the players and the supporters after they're warming up, they go and you know clap for the supporters. And there's a huge, I mean, the supporters are singing before the players even show up on the pitch. And that kind of love for their club is something I've never really seen before.
Yeah, and like there was a moment at the end of the first half today when like Dusseldorf had started to, I think, get on their heels a little bit. I think they're a little bit tired. Köln were kind of getting into it. It was like the 43rd minute and the entire stadium just like erupts in this like Fortuna chant over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And it does like raise the end. Like I found myself being like, ooh, they're in trouble. And all of a sudden I was like, yeah, like we're back into this. And I think that like level of energy and enthusiasm that sort of atmosphere brings has to translate. And I think the players
to piggyback on your point. Hold on. I think what I noticed is most of the times that I see like supporters chanting, it's reactionary, especially in England. Yeah. It's like you fucked up and let me make fun of you for it. Here it seems more purposeful. It means like let's get them going. It's a very different. That's why I think because you said that to me. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Every time, and they got louder and louder as we got closer to the end of the match because they were trying to will them to like not allow the other team to score. Yeah. That was really impressive. But
watching this game,
Christian, 6 more points real fast. No, go
ahead. But watching this game, the Dusseldorf game against Cologne, it does. I was not in even an arrogant way. I was just like, this isn't so much better than MLS, right? You didn't feel that way a little bit? I
did not feel that.
Dusseldorf, I wasn't a fan. I hate teams that play with like basically no midfielders and they just throw.
I see what you're getting at.
Yeah. It's just tactically, it didn't seem anything more complex than what we've seen in Major League Soccer.
I think that's because it was that derby, so it was a lot about rough and tumble and just knocking guys over.
Okay.
And I think maybe that doesn't speak well to MLS that it kind of looks like that all the time.
Okay.
No, but I know.
It could be marketing, MLS, where every game's a derby.
Yeah. That'd be great. I don't know if this is, I shouldn't say I know exactly what you're saying, but I feel like. Like in hearing what you're saying, I get it because there were moments. Is it like Tomer or Tomas? I forget his name. The right winger who I believe scored or at least played the ball in. He I'm getting it wrong, but it's something like that. Like he had so many moments where he had these incredible like quick technical dribbling, and then he like get to the end line, and then he would cross it like into the fans.
Yeah,
it was that sort of moment of like moments of brilliance combined with moments of like that wasn't supposed to happen.
Exactly.
I get what you mean. You mean.
Okay. So the final question, which is your favorite vintage kit. Anybody have any thoughts?
Yeah. 93 Arsenal, which the one that had, it was the Adidas that had the red and blue stripes on the arms coming in at a diagonal. That is the kit that I wish I had. I can't find. And I have found it, and I don't want to spend like $600 on it. So,
is it weird that like the USA 94 kit has become so iconic that now it's done like the, it's almost
gone full circle.
It's almost gone into the point of like, maybe it's not that great. Like, do I want to wear that jersey? I don't know. But I feel like maybe that's blasphemous. For me, like I have an old Rangers jersey that I love very much, even though my Irish friend tried to burn it. but that's, it. I think it's anything that's representative of the era when we were like, you know what? Puffy. That's what we need these jerseys to be, like big and puffy with puffy shorts.
I think you're talking about Puff Daddy for a second. Yeah. I'm like, what team did he play for?
Yeah, you didn't know?
Walk to Brooklyn and get me a soccer jersey.
Didier Dusseldorf. That was the thing.
He played for Newell's Bad Boys.
Yay! Once again, yours was so much better.
Okay, I think, I don't know.
I'm in awe of that joke.
Thank you so much. I'm a professional. I don't really, because I didn't really pay attention to soccer till about like maybe the really like FIFA 2001. That's when I started really focusing on it. But one thing my brother used to do, my brother is a professional handball player. This has come up before, I think. He used to, every time he used to travel, he used to buy me a soccer kit from wherever he went. And that was like my connection to the sport, really. I never even like, he would go to Belgium. He got me a Belgian kit from a team. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, I didn't watch this, but like, oh, this is, so now I have like connection to it and I care about either the league more or the team more. But he would get me, honestly, one of the kits I remember the most that I really, really appreciated was the, he got me a Thierry Henry kit. You've seen me wear.
Yeah, the Burgundy 02.
Yeah. And so I have like, not that I care about Arsenal per se, but the kit itself, I'm like, all right, this, any kit that evokes some sort of memory, those are the ones I appreciate.
Yeah. So I can't really think of one that I like for stylish reasons, but it's more a memory of the 1990 World Cup. Like I love seeing that England kit.
Yeah.
Because it brings back just memories of watching that team in 1990. Yeah. But probably from a design standpoint, it's probably not that great.
I thought of one more that I think I would like to buy at some point is the Cruyff Holland jersey. Do you know the story about that one?
Oh, with the stripes?
Yeah, because he was sponsored by Puma, so he wouldn't wear Adidas, so they had to make him a custom two-stripe jersey instead of the three stripes. I want that two-stripe.
The
two
with stripe, 14 on the back.
Long, and, long sleeve, orange and black. That'll work for me. I'm all right with that. Also, while we were having this whole conversation, all I could think about was like the Suge Knight joke about Puff Daddy when he was Puff Daddy. And like, I like the idea of an 11-11 game and Puffy is one of those guys and he's just like in the background dancing. Like he's not actually doing anything. He's just like, yeah.
It's a good
like,
goalkeeper, like, dude. He keeps showing his feet. I don't know where he's going.
There you go.
We broke a little news on your show and it turns out that Kovac seems to have resigned. Not getting fired.
Ooh.
So, bam, bam, bam.
One of the Bayern members just like cocked a shotgun and he's like, okay, it's me. I voluntarily resign.
That sucks because no severance, right?
Oh.
If he does that, there must be some issue.
Severance Coogan.
Well, on that note,
thank
you for tuning in to part one and part two of a crossover episode in Germany, in Deutschland.
Yeah, dude.
This was. This
but you know how we end our shows.
I do know how we end our shows.
All right, good.
Okay, but let me finish my conclusion.
All right, so we'll do it. No, I'm joking.
No, but this has been an incredible experience. I am more than just elated that we got to share this experience with you guys. This has been really, really cool.
This podcast.
Being in Germany, we got to be in Germany together.
Yes. You know, sitting in this hotel room.
We were in DC and we found out we were both gonna be here. We got sort of the invitation.
We
were
like, I remember he's like, yeah, we got this Germany thing coming. I looked at Taylor. I was like, you going to Frankfurt? He's like, yeah, I'm like, us too, yay.
And we really did.
Yeah, 100%.
Like a hug and jump moment.
Both of our voices got that.
Daryl, when we walked into, you know, when we saw the stadium in Dusseldorf, I was like, man, like, this is crazy. This is what our lives are like. This is like something to really appreciate.
I never thought I'd be in a game where there were like that many flares going off. Like, it was one of those like, oh, I like have seen those YouTube videos, like the compilation of like crazy fans. And I was like, whoa, like I get to be there for that.
We're one of those crazy fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I lit a flare in the press box. They were not happy.
Is that what you call going to the bathroom?
Yeah. Sorry, I farted in the press box. They were not
happy. You shouldn't have held the flare to your butt. That's caused a much bigger flame.
Didn't even pull that wire, dude. It was just a fart lit that joint.
No, man, but this
on
is...
On that note.
Yeah.
It's been incredible. Now, I'm very, very happy that we got to share it with
love
you guys.
You guys.
So, we do love you very much.
No,
so,
we love you too.
So with that said, we're going to end the show as we normally do. So for
but
that,
with umlauts.
What'd you say?
But with umlauts.
But with umlauts, of course. For Daryl Grove, for Taylor Rockwell, my name is Christian Polanco.
Yes, it is. And mine is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
Das Cooligans!
Epstein didn't kill himself.